Tom Paxton is my guest today. Yeah. You don't get much better than that. Don't get too much more of a plum than that. Tom Paxton, great folk singer for many, many years. Well, who else are we going to be featuring? John Forster, the Smothers Brothers. Harold will, of course, be in. Harry to you people who know him well. If you don't know him too well, you got to call him Harold. You know, but if you know him, you know him enough to give him a nickname, go Harry. What is Harry's last name? Well, I think that'll have to remain a secret for a while. This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. You know my middle name? How many people out there? I wonder how many people actually out there know my middle name. Very few, I bet. Joseph. We're going to start off with Spike Jones. Spiked is the name of the CD. Music of Spike Jones put out on Catalyst. And this one is called Deep Purple.
When the deep purple falls over sleepy garden walls and the stars begin to flicker in the sky, I in the midst of a memory, you wander back to me, breathing my name with a
Spike Jones, as I said, and this is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney, as I've already said, and let's see, we're waiting for Harry to show up, because he went to see an old friend that I want to see how that's going. Oh, here he comes. Hey, Harry.
Oh, boy, yes, I finally did it.
Yeah, right, you went to see Jill.
It's been a long time, but I finally went to see my old school friend.
Yeah, how's she doing anyway? She was so vivacious, I remember, in the old days, so full of energy and pep. She was a cheerleader and the prom queen, and, oh, man, well, how is she now? I hope she's a big success.
I'm afraid not, Steve. Julia's now married, and she's bland, bland, bland.
What do you mean, bland?
I mean bland. I go to her house and there she is dressed in brown, sitting on a brown couch.
So?
Her hair is brown. Her eyes are brown. Her rug is brown. Her dog is brown.
So?
She was wearing Buster Brown shoes with brown stains on the brown shoelaces.
So?
Her daughter came in. She's in the Brownies.
Oh.
She offered me hot chocolate in a Charlie Brown mug.
This woman is brown.
She's brown, I tell you. She had a picture of the Cleveland Browns on her wall. She was watching a rerun of Murphy Brown on the TV. She was browning a chicken in the kitchen while eating brownies out of a brown paper bag.
I remember how colorful she used to be.
It was sad, Steve. She was cooking up a brown and serve with brown rice for her husband.
Who did she finally marry?
Joe Brown! Her socks were brown. Her dress was brown. She had had brown eggs for breakfast with hash browns. Her coffee table was brown. She served me a brown Betty.
Did you stay long?
No. Just long enough for her to take our picture with a brownie camera and listen to a few old Jackson Brown records.
She used to like Helen Reddy.
She hasn't listened to Helen Reddy in years.
Does she still like the blues?
The only blues she likes is Brownie McGee. Her lipstick was brown, her belt was brown, her walls were brown, her credenza was brown.
So you decided you don't like her anymore?
She's all right, Steve, but she's such a brown noser.
Did you give her anything as a present?
Sure, I brought her some greens from my garden.
Did she like them?
As a matter of fact, she got quite excited. I might have started a new trend, Steve. She said she might start rooting for the Green Bay Packers as she went to find this old green dress she used to have. Her daughter was turning green with envy as I heard an old Al Green recording on the player. The green grass was coming to life out on her lawn.
In the valley of the Jolly,
ho, ho, ho.
Wow!
Heard about the Jolly Green Giant. He's so big and mean. He stands in his valley with his hands on his hips, and then he hits you with a can of beans. He lives down in his valley. The cat stands tall and green. But he ain't no prize, and there's no women in sight. And that's why the cat's so mean. One day he left his valley path. This cat was mad. Now looking round, he wasn't gone long. And then he ran into an Amazon. Now this changed his whole complexion. You have never seen such a beautiful sight. He looked at her, and she looked at him, and she almost passed out from fright. How's he going with no big green coop? Now you've heard about the Jolly Green Giant. Don't let his trouble cross your mind. He couldn't get Sally, so went back to his valley. The cat was colorblind.
His mama sang soprano at the Met. His dad was in the Juilliard Quartet. His brother played as well as Horowitz. His sister had a string of country hits. But he was tone deaf. He couldn't find his pitch. Tone deaf by some genetic glitch. He couldn't tell an E-flat from an F, the bass from treble clef. He was stone, tone deaf. They tested him for blockage or a broken chromosome. He finally got the message and ran away from home. He wandered sad and lonely till one night in Srinagar, he met a fascinating lady sitting in a bar. Her mother was a prima ballerina. She had three sisters, each a brilliant Trina. Her dad was a hoofer extraordinaire. In fact, her godfather was Fred Astaire. But she had no sense of rhythm. She couldn't feel the beat. She had no sense of rhythm and two left feet. Her family danced, but when she joined in with them, ooh, the criticism, 'cause she had absolutely no sense of rhythm. From the start, these tortured souls were tunelessly in tune. They danced together clumsily, reciting Rod McKuen. And when they wed, their pain turned into never-ending sun. They had a bunch of children, and every single one was tone deaf and rhythmless combined, and also goofy looking, and also colorblind. The story has a moral that is very hard to knock. Two black sheep is all it takes to start a flock.
Tom Paxton is joining me here on Knock on Wood, as promised. Tom, it's wonderful having you on the show.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Great having Tom here. Tom Paxton, for those of you who have been asleep the last 20 years, is a wonderful singer-songwriter. And how many albums do you have now? It must be dozens.
Well, I think it's about 32 or 3.
Wow.
Incredible. That doesn't mean 32 or 3 good ones, but yeah. I'm working on another one right now.
Are you? Oh, yeah. Great. Now, is it an adult thing or
it'll
for kids?
It'll be an adult album, yes.
Adult
album. Later we'll turn our thoughts to doing another children's one.
Mm. Always loved your humor songs. The talking Vietnam.
Oh, sure.
That was a great classic.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a new one now about aerobic dancing that I have to do for you one of these days.
Well, you got to keep up with the times. And wonderful songs about a political song. A lot of wonderful political humor.
Sure.
A lot of bite to them.
Got to laugh about that stuff now and then.
That's
crazy.
Right. Well, Tom also has put out how many children? Now you have at least three.
Books, yeah. I think it's 8 or 9 in print. And
books.
Books. Yeah. And about 5 or 6 more in preparation.
Mm-hmm. How many CDs?
Of children?
Yeah, children's.
I think about 7 or 8.
That many?
Yes.
Gee, I got to talk to you. I think I only have about 3 or 4 of them.
Well, that's about all that are good, I think.
Okay. Well, that never stops us. We play anything here. We don't need good ones. Well, I'm sure you're being humble. I'm sure you have a lot of great material out there. Now, the song you're about to do, why don't you talk about it? It is a book.
This is a song I wrote for my daughter Jennifer when she was 3 years old as a lullaby. And it really is the beginning of my children's book writing because Morrow Junior Books, my publishers, called me and asked if they could do this song as an illustrated picture book for children. And I said, sure. And when I was talking to them, I had some other ideas for books, which began our association, which now just goes right along doing book after book.
Wonderful.
But this was the start of it all, doing this this as a book. This is a song called Jennifer's Rabbit. Jennifer slept in her little bed with dreams of her rabbit in the little hand. Jennifer's rabbit, brown and white, left the house and ran away one night, along with a turtle and a kangaroo and 17 monkeys from the city zoo. And Jennifer, too. They ran through the forest and they all held hands. They came to the ocean with the cookie crumb sands. Called it the sea of the very best dreams. And they all built a castle of the best moonbeams and Milky Way streams. And there on the sands where the starfish play, the ship sailed in from the moonbeam bay. They all went sailing on the starlight sea, where they all had cookies with oolong tea. And Jenny had 3. They danced on the decks of the red sail brig. The monkeys and the sailors did a whirling jig. Turtle played the fiddle and the rabbit played kazoo. And they bowed to each other as polite folks do. And Jenny bowed too. Then my, said the turtle, as the clock struck three, the hour is growing very late for me. Not at all, said the rabbit, and I tell you why, we still haven't counted every star in the sky. Said Jenny, let's try. So they counted on the ship and they counted on the shore, they counted through the forest through the bedroom door, they counted in bed till they could count no more, and then they all fell asleep and the final score was a trillion and four. Yes, the rabbit and the turtle and the kangaroo, and Jenny fell asleep as sleepy folks do, just like you.
Sweet. Oh, I wish you people are, you know how lucky I am? I get to see it in person. I get my own private little concert.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, it's really nice, real pretty. And that was turned into a book.
It was. Wonderful. Yeah, it became the first of my children's books. Yeah.
It's still, of course, very much in print. And,
oh, yes.
Very Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble has it. All the children's bookstores have these books.
That's great. Yeah, I see them all over the place. That's wonderful. Would you say that Marvelous Toy or Last Thing on My Mind was your biggest hit?
Oh, I think the Last Thing in My Mind has been recorded by a couple hundred different people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Beautiful song there.
Thanks.
Tom, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's really been fun, and hopefully you will come back and when you're in the area.
I will, Steve.
Good.
It'll be nice to see you.
Wonderful.
And I hope the next time Harry's here, too.
Harry will be here. I'll make sure of it.
Thank you.
Someone once asked me what I would ask for if I had one wish. And I answered that I'd wish that God has a sense of humor. You know who the one who really gets me? What's his name? He has a name, Ernst Ansley. Ansley Ernst. It's one of these names you can turn around. It still isn't a name. Have you ever seen this guy on television? He's an evangelist. Not only is he have his own television show. It's a network religious show. He cures people right on television. Have you ever seen him?
Yeah.
And he wears a toupee. I don't get it. He can fix this guy's legs. He can't put a couple of hairs on his own head. I don't get it. Did you ever look up at birds? You envy their freedom. You think to yourself, wow, I wish I could fly. But then do you ever think maybe birds are up there looking down at us saying, man, I wish I could cross my legs.
Two Short Ones by David Brenner. So what's the name of that? Excuse me, are you reading that paper? It's a story that he tells her. Somebody's sitting down on a piece of paper in a subway, and somebody comes over and says, "You reading that?" Okay. Yeah, let's see. Knock on wood. Steve Charney. Tom Paxton is gone. Too bad. That was John Forster for Tom Paxton, who helps produce all the Tom Chapin albums. Say, Harry.
Harry.
What?
You just said, say, Harry.
No, I was going to ask you if you heard the quote about the whales, you know, that our president said.
No, which one is that?
He said, we should save the whales. In fact, let's collect the whole set.
That's stupid!
Hey, watch your language.
English, what's yours?
Be careful what you say, Harry. We're working without Annette here.
And she probably wouldn't have come if we invited her.
All right, forget her. Remember that thing we picked up in New York?
Sure, I remember. And stop scratching it. You get irritated.
Everyone wants to be a Canadian.
Now, this next joke is going to put the listening audience in awe.
Awe.
Gee, Steve, you think the audience is laughing with me or at me?
At you.
Gesundheit. What do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back?
What?
A stick. How many surrealists does it take to screw in a light bulb?
What?
A fish. Now, this next joke I'm going to tell you, they don't tell any longer.
How come?
Because it's long enough as it is. I'd like to say to the listeners that behind every successful radio programmer is a beautiful woman.
Is that so?
Yeah, that kind of gives you a good idea what Steve's girlfriend looks like.
Hey, you know, I think it's time for our routine check.
You think so?
Yeah, ready?
Sure.
How's this routine going?
Hmm.
I'm with you. Let's hear another recording. The Smothers Brothers.
I'd like to do a song from a Broadway show. The show is Paint Your Wagon, and the song is I Talk to the Trees. Talk to the trees, and they never listen to me. I talk to the stars, but they never hear me. The the breeze hasn't time.
The breeze hasn't time
to stop and hear what I say.
Hear what I say.
I talk to them all.
I talk to them all.
In vain. But suddenly my strange to...
Every time that I hear you sing that song, I think, it, boy, what a stupid song.
Yeah, thank you, but you really pick a fine time to tell me about it.
Well, I wanted to surprise you.
No. You succeeded. You surprised me. But for your information, Talk to the Trees is not stupid. It's from a hit Broadway show entitled Paint Your Wagon, which was a great show. A lot of great songs.
Paint Your Wagon?
Yeah.
Stupid sounds like a stupid show and a stupid song, and it's a dumb, and anybody connected with a show or a song like that has got to be a stupid, dumb, weirdo freak.
All right, I agree with you. The show happens to be about a young man very much like yourself.
Maybe I spoke a little hastily. Words.
It's about a young man very much like my brother. He's young and shy and bashful, very timid, but he's so much in love. And that makes everything all right. He was so much in love, it was his first love, but he was so bashful that he was afraid to tell his sweetheart that he loved her, and she knew not of his love. But he had to tell someone or something because this frustration, this terrible feeling was building up within him, and finally he did a very beautiful thing. He went out
into
the
country. Did he tell her that he loved her?
No.
He never did.
He wished he could. He wished he had the courage to walk up to her and take her by the hand and look deeply into her eyes and say very simply and truthfully, I love you. I love you very much. And I only hope that one day you may grow to love me half as much as I love you right now.
I will.
Because I... That's just enough. But he couldn't do that. So one day he went out in the countryside and he tried to communicate with Mother Nature's wise old trees and talk to these trees and tell these marvels of nature, these wise old trees of his great love.
You guys are real
nut. No, he's not a nut.
Sneaking off into the forest to talk to the trees.
Now, Tommy, that's not what he did.
Hi there, Mr. Tree. How are you? How's Mrs. Tree? All the little bushes.
Guy like that would talk to a fire
he
hydrant.
Did... What do you mean, fire hydrant?
Hi there, fire hydrant. Just been talking to this big old tree over here. Certainly have a lot in common, you two.
All right, now that is just enough. Tommy, don't you understand at all?
Just a second.
Hi there, stage. Used to be a tree, didn't you?
You are a very shallow, callow individual. You have made fun of this song. You haven't even tried to understand.
Who's your fat friend? Used to be a tree, didn't you, fatty?
You leave my base
alone. See what happens? You hang around with the wrong type of people.
Shut up! You really should be proud of yourself. Really, you should be very proud of yourself. You stood up here and you ridiculed me. You ridiculed this song. You ridiculed a wonderful show. And you think everybody's proud of you out there. You think they're all looking up there and say, oh, why, isn't he a sharp, clever boy? No, they're all staring at you. They're staring and wondering. And they've, you know what you've shown them? You've shown them how crass, how shallow, how unfeeling an individual can be, how totally void of any poetic beauty in your entire makeup, your entire soul. You didn't understand the song? You ridiculed me, and you've come down a notch or two. That's all I've got to say.
You
what?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't care what you do now. You didn't like... Go ahead.
You talked mean to me, and you said that I didn't have any sensitivity, and I was a crass, shallow person. I happen to be a person too, Dickie, and I have sensitivity and I have feeling and I have love in my heart. I'm sensitive to every little blade of grass that grows.
But I wouldn't talk to him.
Right on. Smothers Brothers in their prime. From the best of the Smothers Brothers put out on Rhino Records. Swedish Knock on Wood, I'm Steve Charney. Ready to read from the book More Anguished English. This is compiled by Richard Lederer, author of Anguished English and Crazy English. Get Thee to a Punnery. I know he's got that one. Crazy English. I didn't know he wrote that. I'll have to get a copy of that, too. And this is put out on Delacorte Books, Delacorte Press. Now, these are real things. He hasn't made these up or anything. He collects these. These are instructions that you find in foreign languages. They get lost. The personal misdirected directions, they get lost in translation. For instance, this was actually posted on a Russian ship, which helpfully explained, "Help savoring apparata. In emergings, behold many whistles. Associate the stringing apparata about the bosoms and meet behind. Flee then to the indifferent life-savoring shippen, obediencing the instructs of the vessel chief." This is in Japan. This is a label on the back of a retractable, multi-purpose touch knife. The package simply says, "Caution, blade extremely sharp. Keep out of children." Woo! You want to read one, Harry?
Sure, Steve. On the box of an alarm clock made in Taiwan, it says, "Thank you to perfection of alarming mechanism. You are never awake when you are sleeping."
Figure that one out. For a Japanese-manufactured turning-type pencil, it says, "Please to use in accordance with our instructions, for this pencil is quite new, in that a particular idea has been employed in its nib, so that you write with fluent by simply adjusting it." Wow. Okay, now this was on a box containing instructions for assembling a step stool made in Taiwan. A step stool. Step one. When you want to open and use it, don't put your hand on the end of up step board and down step. You must be put your hands on the foreleg and back leg, that between of down crossbar and seat leg. Oh boy. Step two, huh?
When you want to take to the other place, pushing the plate spring with your hand of one, holding the belt with the other hand, take up the step stool with holding the belt hand.
Yikes! Can you imagine trying to find those, follow those instructions? Richard Lederer does mention, of course, that when we tried to translate into other languages, it comes out just as silly. He has a number of examples here, but we don't have time to read them. It's too bad. We can slaughter languages just as well as the next person. That was from More Anguished English, Richard Lederer. That's on Delacorte Press. Very funny, funny book. We are talking about Knock on Wood, and this is Steve Charney.
Well, why are you talking like that, Steve?
I don't know. I just feel like being silly.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Knock on Wood is produced at the Knock on Wood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show's written and produced by me, Steve Charney. And I always like to mention at this time, if you're at all interested in having us perform at any event that you're having, and we're talking about parties or theaters or schools, we promote literacy in the school, maybe you're, any event, give us a call at 845-246-7898. You can also email me, steve@stevecharney.com. You can check out my website, stevecharney.com, see what we look like, see what products we have for sale. Or maybe you just want to email and comment on the show. We're happy to hear from you. Okay, bye-bye, everyone.